So this morning, I want us to turn to Hebrews 12. There were actually two matters in my, one matter in my heart before this morning and until some hours ago. It was complemented with another matter, which I found out that they were corroborating each other. And I pray that God would richly and mightily bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. I really loved the prayer session. If you can't pray in this church, you will pray. Yeah, that's what I know. There's nothing bad will happen to you, but you will pray. You understand? So at times, the corporate prayers is to help us individually as well. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I think we read this on Wednesday, Abby. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us do what? Run. Can we say run?
Run.
Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us here that we have a race to run. If you think you don't have anything before you, it's saying to you that you have a race. Can you say, I have a race to run? And so the conversation here is, it says we should lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset. And looking at all of this, now you also mentioned that we have great cloud of witnesses, meaning people who have done this before. Amen?
Amen.
People who are, they can testify or they can bear record that what you are about to do is not a strange thing. They've done it. They've even seen people do it before them. So that's why I say it's a cloud. So it's like you have X, 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 X. People who have done this spiritual pilgrimage before. So it says we have a cloud of witnesses. So what we have been embarked, or what we have been set to do, or the journey that we've embarked on, is not a strange journey. And that's why a strange Christianity now is not from God. Let me explain what I'm saying. If what you're doing is not in the Bible, it's not from God. It's not. There's no new journey for you. There's no new journey for you. There's no. You can't deceive us again. We've had knowledge and we've taken knowledge. The Bible says, and they took knowledge. You know, we've seen the scriptures that what we have been called to is something some people have done. Interestingly, there are people who are doing it and they are ahead of us and they are still alive. That's how beautiful it is. So it's not a posterity that is locked in too far past. It's something most likely the nearest living person to you is doing it. Some of your husband is doing it. So it's your wife is doing it. So it's not even far-fetched, right? You come to the house of God, you see many witnesses. You look into the scriptures, you see many, right? So the race that is set before us is not a new race, neither is it a race that is out of place. Because by the time we put it side by side to that, to the one that the witness, they won't be witnesses if it's different. They won't bear record of it. They won't testify to it if it is different. And so that's why Hebrews have to quickly establish that even in the old covenant, the people of faith, there is not different. It says by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. So that you won't quickly now start saying, but in the Old Testament, so they had struck that balance. If they didn't want us to have the knowledge of Old Testament, we wouldn't have it. Particularly if Jesus was not mirrored in it. If it wasn't a typology of Christ. If the representations and the symbols and the signs that were put in the Old Testament, if they were not all pointing to Christ, it would not be relevant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So people that go into apologist exercise, where you're trying to defend the Bible. You must be very sure that the Old Testament is not what you defend. You know, when they say in Leviticus, God said this, you know, but is that the kind of God you are serving? And you are not trying to, you know, and God is not like that too. No, God was like that. Or God is like that. Yeah, so you're trying to defend it, so you're trying to look for one New Testament place to downtone. If they wanted to tone it down, you wouldn't have seen it. It was people that God brought together would have told them, hide this one, so. Hide this one. This one will confuse humanity. But God knows that because the Bible says the scripture was given to us by inspiration. So he knows what he has put together as the volume of the books. And so those witnesses, they corroborate the race you are running. It's not just from Matthew or let's say maybe from Acts, depending on. Some people would even say salvation started from Acts. So I started reading my own Bible from Acts. You will be like Demas. Yeah, because you won't have the complete counsel of God. You will forsake God. And so, Hebrews told us that we have a cloud of witnesses. And because of that, at times when you know also that you have a cloud of witnesses, it gives you a sense of comfort that you're not alone on the journey. So God has not called anybody to an isolated journey. You know, particularly when, if it's a Christianity that only you understand, particularly you can come to the reasoning, answer all the questions you come up with yourself, you are most likely just deceiving yourself. You will see a similitude in another. You will see that, oh, this is what God is doing with me. This is also doing this, maybe in another way, but you can relate it. So it is a race that has been set before us, and we're encouraged to run that race with endurance. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What I want us to focus on today is running the race that is set before us. But that's not a topical, so because I know the topicked people. All right, I run the race. No, it's not. Even me, I don't have a topic. So, but let's just follow. They didn't topic the Bible, so don't worry. The people that are canonizing our messages, they know how to manage that. At times, they don't sit down and give another any title. So don't think it's, at times, the title you see on Podbean is the invention of Boale. It's Boale. That's his own epistle. That is like, what can I call this? And, you know, we always pray that God will keep using him, you know. Yeah. Imagine you just give it a strange topic. So, but we know it wouldn't. Hallelujah. Yeah. So every man has a race that is appointed. Every man that is born of a woman, but born of God. Now, a lot of us would always think that once you're on earth, you have something you're doing. No. It's not every body that is breathing through their nostrils, walking on the surface of the earth, that has a race yet. But everyone born of a woman, but yet born of God, has a race. Because before you were born of God, because you didn't have a race from God that you were running, you had another race that was being perpetuated by the spirit of darkness or the spirit of this age, the power that works in the children of what? Disobedience. So everyone that is not born of God yet, devil has given them a supposed race. But because we are born of God, we've switched race. We're walking according to the course of this world before. So that's a race. That's a path. But God has switched the tracks. So you were probably, I don't know what meters, the devil, most likely, I know it's an infinite loop. Because you'll be going in cycles. But there was a day, there was a time, there was a season in our life that Jesus came into the scene. And out of the many things he did for you, one of the things he also did was he changed the course that you were walking. He gave you another race. You know, one of the testimonies of being born again is the things you had so many plans to achieve before that were not godly. You just found out that there was no need to achieve them anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. So every man that is born of God has a race is appointed unto him. God intends that you run his race. God intends that you, that's what we call purpose. That's why we call purpose. That's what we call purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a man can only be deserving of this as long as he's born again. So this is not even desirable. It's not a prayer point. You know, that God give me a race. As long as a man or a woman is giving his or her life to Christ, God immediately allots that person to a race that the person should run. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 quickly. Let's be a bit fast. No, prove to Magic that she doesn't need to come to that seat. Prove to her. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Go to 6, please. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Verse 6 says, he has finished his race. So Apostle Paul, you know, before he gave his life to Christ, he was doing something. Yeah, that was the race devil gave him, to be persecuting the saints. Get a letter from Jerusalem and go and deal with everywhere Christians are. And that looked like a worthy, you know, if he was returning back home, they'll say that he has gone to work. You know, that day I was walk today. Oh, we locked up 50 Protestants, you know, 50 Christians. You know, we locked them up. The Pharisees would deal with them. You know, we've brought them book into, you know, his KPI would be that, you know, 5 Christians today, 20 Christians next week. You understand? So it was up to something. And it wasn't even a docile thing. He was applying himself to it. You could have said that was his purpose. And literally, I mean, if somebody saw Paul then, you say, ah, this guy is fulfilling purpose. Oh. Like, ah, God, I wish I can. You know, somebody would say, I want to be his apprenticeship. You know, when he was worried, as when he was going to Damascus, there were apprentices that were going with him. People that were learning work. How to catch a saint, even though if he's speaking in tongues, don't let that fuzz you. Don't let that take you away. Close the mouth. Tie the guy. You know, they were learning work. And those ones will be saying, ah, I hope one day I'll be like, I hope one day the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob will make me be like, this is my Oga. Wow. But now here, he got switched course. And we're grateful to God that he did to him. Because he's our own apostle. You know, Paul was apostle to the Jew. He's our own apostle. He said he has finished his, he was telling Timothy here that he has finished his race. Now, this one line that a lot of us, we trust God that we will say this. Yeah, because it's prayer, honestly. Because it's not by power, it's not by might. Because the length and the breadth or the extent to which the race has been defined, it's not with you that they told to run the race. So it's not as though Paul said something very, you know, when they say set your goal, for example, you know, most of all, we set what we can achieve. You know, we set the goal that, you know, that come what's come may, in sickness and in health, I will still get this one done. You rarely find people that set goals themselves that is audacious. But what God did here is God has set the race. And God gave him or put him on track to run the race. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's also read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24. There's also a place I want us to read. We talked about. So it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Can we go to the Maybe previous verse. Let me see. Okay, go to 24. Start there. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should also be what? Disqualified. There's a place that said, you know, anyone that runs in a race runs according to the set rules. I don't know if you can find that place. So the race that God has put our feet on is a worthy course, right? It's something you look forward to finishing. Most likely, if you even have the grace, you can write about the before you exit. You know, like you can say it. It's not like maybe you've left them. We now said you have finished it. You know, it's gracious that God gives you that grace to be able to know you are finished before you leave. I mean, like, you know the time you're about to depart. And so you have, you know, all the knowledge that tells you that you've actually done all. It's a gracious thing. You know, at times, most people, it's when they've left that we think or we hope that they finished their assignment. He says also, 2 Timothy 2:5, also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking... No. I think that's I wasn't even intending to read that in any way. And so, when God sets a race before us, there are about three or four things that are very germane to that race. Now, one of it is rules. If you don't run a race according to the rules, you get disqualified, right? So when someone is being told that you have a race to run, there are practically four things that you should be concerned about. One of it is the destination. So imagine if, because the destination also informs the preparation at times. So imagine if you are meant to run a marathon. You know, you won't run as though you are doing 100 meters. Yeah. And if you are to run 100 meters, you know, you are most likely preparing for 100 meters. So there are four things that are very paramount when a race is appointed or when our race was appointed to us. One is destination. Destination is very, very key. Meaning, where are we going to? We all know where we started from. Because he picked us from the miry clay. Then gave us a new life. Now, that's where we started from. But from that point, there's a destination. Now, you can easily say that the destination is heaven. That's a cheap exit. Yeah. You can say, the where I'm going to is heaven. But God had, you know, for Paul, his destination. I don't know, maybe I should say this, but no, let's leave it. Amen. 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 So like I said, where you're going to, where's the destination? And like I said, the destination informs the preparation. Now, we're not running a sprint, meaning we're not doing this for a short while. We're probably doing this for a long period. So you can easily say we're in a marathon. That's the race God has called us to. But the destination in itself, like I said, it's not destination is not heaven. We would all get to heaven because of what we have received in John 3:16. And and John 17, when he says, what is eternal life? So because we have eternal life, or we have received eternal life, we have believed in the Son, you know. You know, God puts eternal life in His Son, and because we believed in the Son, we have life. And the Bible says, anyone that doesn't believe the Son doesn't what? Have life. It says, he that didn't believe in the Son is condemned already. So that's the perimeter for who is going or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that we have I actually didn't want to go there, but I wanted to create a difference between we have a journey that God has set us to, and we are getting to heaven. You know, actually, most people are already enjoying heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because some people are saying, remain rapturable. Remain rapturable. Remain rapturable. Remain rapturable. You get. But this is so much about the purpose that God has assigned to us. Now, I would always say that in the framework of purpose, first of all, God, there's a problem. Then God, in attempting to solve that problem, figured out someone and then gave the person a solution. Now, the purpose is taught in that context of God, problem, you, solution. Do you get? So when God thinks of it, that's why we always say when God sent a baby to this earth, he has seen a purpose that baby would achieve. The purpose is not come from heaven, then you now go back to heaven. Do you get my point? Like someone had preached a very long time ago, if the whole purpose of you getting saved was just to get to heaven, then the day you gave your life to Christ should just exit. There's no... But you getting saved, God was happy to start a project with you. So that at the end of the day, you would say you've also finished your course. You finished your race. You've done purpose. I didn't want to go there before, but someone has taken me there. So the second thing that we should be mindful of if a race is assigned to us is the roadmap. Now, I said the first one is destination. You need to know where we are, where you're going to. Many a times, the question is, God, what have you put me on earth for? That's the question for destination. Oh, I've put you on earth here to bring the Gentiles into the faith. That was the assignment of Paul. The second one is the roadmap. See, roadmap is, see, if you're told to, let's imagine maybe you're inviting somebody to church and you just said, please come and worship with us at GCC, what you do, and you didn't give the person address and how to get here, you've most likely done the person a disfavor because you've just created a false excitement. Because it's like you tell the person, we are having an amazing time here, but the person does not know how to. You know, we're also in a close. So it's not like, except maybe you ask even bike men now that, just say you are going to one of those churches. I'm sure they will bring you here, if not the first or the second church. You say, no, I know where you are going to. Particularly when you're a serious-looking Christian, they will bring you here. Even though this is not a church you are even intending to go, they will bring you. I say, you go to church, and now serious people, they come here. If they carry you somewhere else, you should be angry. Amen. So the roadmap is very important. Now, the word of God is a roadmap of a believer to achieving purpose. The word of God is the roadmap. Meaning, to be able to fulfill, to get to the destination, the guide, the signs, the symbols, the signpost is in the word of God. It's in the word of God. Now, people need to also know that that is enough. Because that's also something a lot of people don't know. That is the word of God and. And that's why they ensure that the Bible is full. It's full. Meaning it's complete. There's nothing, even what God, if what God wants you to become is still a 21st century thing, the word would guide you. The word has the roadmap. For example, marriage. Our purpose in marriage, the roadmap is in the scriptures. When God sets you and you embark on that marriage journey, the roadmap is in the scripture. So the roadmap is how to get there. How to get to your destination. The third thing that is important or should be important to you is the rules of the race, like we read in Timothy. If you're not mindful, if you don't know the rules of the race, you most likely could have been disqualified or you're about to be disqualified. Because you wouldn't know what could get you out of the race, and you wouldn't know when you've committed that that offense. You don't even know. Sincerity is not even enough to absolve you of error. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know that they don't do this here. Like, no. It says my people perish for what? So it's you know, people always say that what you don't know cannot kill you. It's not true. It's not true. Don't believe that thing. It's not true. It's devil that said that, and then everybody took it. Because he knows that he has been killing people with ignorance. Day. So that's like another tactic of the enemy. So the rules of the race. You're asking God, you know, how, you know, most importantly, the rules are how to be. You know, how I'm meant to reconcile the word back to God. How should I be? Oh, be this kind of person. Oh, I'm meant to set up and establish the kingdom of God on earth through this venture or through this assignment. How should I be? If you don't be, or if you are not looking the way you should look, or if you are not being that assignment that God intends for you, you wouldn't turn out at that destination. You know, imagine if after Saul got saved, he just returned back to his old mission. And he thought in himself that maybe God will use that, God will purify that. You know what? You had an assignment before. And so whenever anyone gets saved, you should always, there's always a question of what am I going to do? Because if you don't ask that question, you would try to legitimize what you were doing before. Because now you think you have a better heart. So let me go back to what I was doing. And not even necessarily a bad thing. But in knowing that while I was in the world, devil was my master. So it was literally the one that was employing me till now. So now that I am saved, I need to now ask the question, God, what's the next thing? From here, what's the next thing? And so for Paul, he had to first journey to Arabia. He never went for retreat to go and figure out what's the next thing. You know, it could have been easy. We just return back to Jerusalem and just be the new soul that is on the street. And so how to be is very important. How to be, meaning understanding the rules of the race. If you don't understand the rules of the race, you most likely will not know the roadmap. You will most likely not get to the destination. Then the last one to be mindful of is what I call support systems. Meaning what is needed. What is needed for the race. So there's a destination, there's a roadmap. There is a what? Rules of the race. And there are support systems. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want us to zoom in into support systems. Are you still with me?
Yes,
when you look at support systems are basically what God will give to you on the journey to sustain you in the journey. And there are many things God gives to us as a means of sustenance. Because God, what intends that you get to the end of, as much as you are determined, God works at ensuring you what? You get there. So what God does is God provides us with support systems. Support systems are not necessarily what you think in yourself together because you've never walked that path before. You've never walked that path before, so you can't come up with what you need. For example, when you're in Arabia, what do you need? Is it blankets? Is it very cold there? You don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you look at what God provides to us or provides for us in engaging us as we walk that race, you know, or as we run that race, the first of it is the Holy Spirit. Let's quickly read some scriptures. John 14, 15, 18. So he gives us the Holy Spirit. You know, how many of us have watched Pilgrim Progress before? It's a very old time movie. Like it's evergreen. I don't know how they made that movie. I watched it like 10, 12 years ago. And It's just that the recording is a bit old now, like the production. It's not HD or 4HD that... I think it's 4HD now. 4K. Ah, I said 4HD. 4K. No, it's not... I think they were... It was the best then. Do you understand? So if you even still watch it now, it's still of good. But in that... You know, that movie really helped me personally understand that a believer is on a race. And so many... I don't know who came up with those scripts. Is he said what? Okay. Wow. Like, it's so... If you have not watched it, please watch it. He has a book, but if you don't like reading book, you can watch the film. They are the same thing. You can join my camp. But if you can read the book, he said, even you have cartoon. Ah. Our children should watch that one, no? Please. If they don't have it, please, let's recommend it to them, please. And so in that movie, I didn't read the book, so I can't even really say, but I know the story of how he got the vision. He was actually in prison, yeah, of how he got the vision. And so there were a lot of things the guy was doing until, you know, we started understanding that the Holy Spirit was his companion on that journey. And at every point in time when he's getting it wrong, you know, that, you know, I remember when he was maybe trying to climb, he went on the wrong path. And then the Holy Spirit was asking him, what are you doing here? And he said it was one man that told him that this place is a shortcut. And then the Holy Spirit had to redirect him back. It's a very good, it preaches itself, the theme. Or I'm not saying the book, but yeah, I mean the book also would do that as well. And so the Holy Spirit is our companion in this race. Actually, when we got saved, the first thing he gave to us was the Holy Ghost. Like, that's the most important thing you need to start or to be steadfast in the journey. Before you even look for any other thing, like, it's the Holy Ghost that is required. So the Holy Ghost is our companion, is our comforter, is our teacher, is our helper. So on the journey, on the race that God has set before us, the Holy Spirit is our guide, is our helper. John, and I will pray the Father, and he will give to you another what? Helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, will deal with you, will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I would come to you. 26. Let's go to 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Can we go to 15:26? 15:26. I'm just trying for us to read the scriptures around the Holy Spirit being our helper on this journey. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Go to 16:7-8. You know, Jesus knew that once he left and there was no helper, these guys would not be able to do anything. And that's why he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. So it's not like when he was leaving, everything was done. It just started. So that he just started and me, I'm leaving. He said, if I don't leave, it won't be better. Let me leave so that you can start your race. Because they will just still be doing follow. And they'll be enjoying the ministry of what? Of Jesus. But he said, it's better that I go. So that you guys can now have something to run as a race. But he now said, I wouldn't go without sending to you an helper. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is this what I wanted you to read? Okay, yes. It is to your advantage that I go away. I think this is what I just said now. For I do not go away. The helper will come, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So he says, if I don't go, the helper will not come. And if I go, then he will come. Verse 8, please. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit is our helper on this journey. We would always need the Holy Spirit. There wouldn't be a day that we don't need the Holy Spirit, because he will speak of the person that has given us a race. Yes. So for example, you are on this journey, you get to a junction. You say, Holy Spirit, where is this? Now, you would look to Jesus. Jesus, where is he? He's currently here. Okay, okay, you are here. And this is how to behave here. Or this is how to live where you are currently to move to the next. So that's, the Holy Spirit has a daily job description to get done in our lives. So you can see that we can't go a day without the Holy Spirit, interacting with the Holy Spirit. God, how should I do this? Because what you're doing is you need the compass for that journey. And the Holy Spirit is the guide. His help is support to you. Because it's a support system. His support to you is to ensure that you finish well. That's why I said he will guide you into all truth. So we can't do without the Holy Spirit. It's not contestable. You can't say, I want to do it only with the written. I'll just be reading the Bible. No, even the Bible, to understand it, he said it will guide you into all truth. Else, you will just be dealing with letters. And Bible says the letter killeth, right? It's the Spirit that does what? Gives life. So even the vibrancy you need on that journey is the Holy Spirit that brings it. So we need the Holy Spirit. Can you say, I need the Holy Spirit? Now, this support system, like I said, it's not you that structure. It's not you that said, this is where I need the Holy Spirit. This is where I need this. This is where I... No, it's God that knows that for you to walk this journey successfully, to run this race successfully, and so that you would also join the cloud of witnesses afterwards, and you will not be ashamed. They won't say you did orijo. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing we need as a support system is recorded in Hebrews, but I wouldn't spend any time there. I'll just mention and I'll move to the third one, is angels. They call them ministering what? Angels. Yeah. Let's go to Hebrews 1:14 and let's go to Psalms 91:11-12. Like I said, I'm not explaining anything here. So he was talking about the angels. Can you maybe back it up a little bit so that anyone that hasn't read this before would have context? Maybe you can start from, I think, 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will change. They'll be changed. But you are the same. And your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering what? Spirits. Send forth to minister for those who will what? Inherit. So that he's saying to us that even on this journey, there's what we call the ministration of the angels, or the ministry of the angels. That God in his infinite mercy, it's not you that say, angel, you ready? Angel, this one, come on. No. 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 That's why I said I don't want to spend. There's the teaching here is God is just telling you that he has angels that minister to the saints. So on your journey, you might. The one that you must have and long for an encounter, if you don't see, cry, is the Holy Spirit. But this one you might is M-I-G-H-T. You might. You can't conjure it. You can't say this retreat is the retreat of the ministry of angels. No, you can't. There's even no way to position yourself. It's not like if you get to the third heaven. There's nothing. It's God in his infinite mercy that does this one. The first one, tarry. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. But you will not tarry for this one. This one will just be the benevolence of God. That at this time, at this junction, we need Angel Michael to go. Because there's somebody called Prince of what? Persia. Some of us don't have Prince of Persia yet, though. So don't think everybody has Prince of Persia. If you don't have it, don't pray for one. Ojo Oguni, don't fight, don't pray for a war that you are not sure whether they've allocated the resources. No? Say, every Prince of Persia in my life, ah. I don't know about that. So there are interventions that God uses this for. And some of us will have this. He says they are ministering spirits to what? To the saints, those who would inherit what? Salvation. So it's like an expectation. So it shouldn't be strange, you know, for John. John had this experience on the island of Patmos, where he told him, he said, don't worship me, I'm your fellow servant. That was an angel that was sent to him to really give him all the experiences that he had. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, someone might be asking, you know, why does God set us up so that we can have support systems? Before I mention the last one, I want to quickly say that we can't fulfill the race God has called us to ourselves. Like, even if they give us everything that is to know, we can't, it's like they tell you, fly. Now, you don't have the ability innate to fly. Or they tell you, do something that is not natural. And this race is a supernatural race. It's not, oh, I want to go study in Harvard. Yeah, you know, we know how to get that done. Even the person that will not go there knows how to get it done. Like, oh, you apply, write one exam here, another exam there, apply for to the school, they give you admission. If they give you admission, go and do visa. You know how to get there. But this is a supernatural race. So I'm uplifting, you know, the minds of those that are hearing me, that the race that we are called, this race that we are called to is not anything mundane. This is what God saw in himself and said, this is what this girl, this boy would achieve for me. So it's very supernatural. So you can't fulfill it in yourself. Even if you know all it is about it. Then the last one is the gift of men. And I'll quickly run through this because I want us to know that one of the things God does for us to help us on our journeys, he sends men to us. You know, when he thought about the church, after sending the Holy Ghost, the next thing he thought for about the church was men. Ephesians. Like I said, they were not even necessarily seeking that angel would come and help them. Immediately after the Holy Spirit, his men he gave them. Let's read that place in Ephesians. Have you seen it? Chapter 4, yeah. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. But he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, this was a journey that God commissioned for the saints. Now, he says, till. So it's like we'll be going through that journey of becoming united in faith, knowledge of the Son, perfect man, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Like it's a journey. But he says that he had given five categories of men that would help us get there. So imagine if the church comes together and say, well, let's kill all our fivefold. You can see that church will not be a bride. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, experience all of this. So the destination for the church is becoming one in faith, having the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming a perfect man. So perfection is possible in the church. You know, a lot of people always think that Jesus will just accept the church for what it is. Like, he's like, half is better than none. No. He's coming for a church that is without spot and wrinkle. So there's a race that has been set before the church, that these men, God has given them grace to support the church to get there. So you can see that a church that is already fighting their pastor, or fighting their prophet, or fighting their teacher, they will not get there. Like, even if they are so united, they won't get there. They will get somewhere else. Like, their unity will get them somewhere else. It will be one hatred, one lust, one devil. Like, they will have oneness, but they will achieve it on the other side. They won't do much before the devil comes into their midst. But I also want us to see practical examples of how God sent men into people's life. Number one is Ananias to Paul. You know, like I said, that, you know, we did a wedding in Abeokuta, and, you know, the church in Abeokuta just had to step in. They don't know the person, and they don't have to know the person. So, Apostle Paul was on his way to go deal with some Christians. He had already gotten a letter, right? And he was on his way. Now, when he was on his way, Damascus was on the path. Meaning, okay, let's say he's meant to go and deal with the Christians in Lagos Island. Then he needs to go through Bagada. So, by the time he got to Oworo, one light just shone on him. And he fell down from, I think it's also something. He fell to the ground. And he heard a voice. Now, we all know this story, right? But immediately this happened. Bible says he was without sight. And they had to help him out, basically. Because he couldn't see. His eyes were opened. He saw no one. Like, that's he opened the eyes, but he can't see. Something has happened to his eyes. But they led him by the hand and brought him into. Now, he was on his way. He was at Damascus. Then they brought him into the city. You know all those when you're traveling now? You know all those states where you are passing the state, but you're not in the state? Yeah. So they now took him inside Damascus. Like, well, guys, because the apprentices don't really, they are energized as much as they see Paul. They can't take that letter and go on. They don't know who to go and kill or go and arrest. So they are just apprentices. They were following Paul back to back. But they've now, God has dealt with the Oga. So the best they can do for him, let's hospital inside Damascus. But God in his wisdom, there was a man in this city called Ananias. See, that's how God positions men for us. You know, you might be thinking that, God told me to relocate to Lagos. Like, what's the need for me in Lagos? No. God has put somebody in Lagos that would be the support system for that journey that he has commissioned you for. He says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus. They didn't need to go and start looking for somebody in Jerusalem or in Judea, or in Antioch. Now, this is a man that God used to help Paul. He says, and to him the Lord said in a vision. You know, at times we always feel like anyone that God has said he should help us, you know, we always pray some prayers that even God is looking like, the person I have raised up to help you, he has ears to hear me. And that's why at times, that's why we don't lobby. You don't lobby. You know, Abraham, when he saw the king of Sodom, he, hey, wealthy, real, eh? Maybe this is the helper of my, you know, this city and this kingdom that God said I should come and, maybe this man that would finance it. You know, and he quickly used two scriptures to just establish the truth. And then he would say he has a witness. And he will use strong face to collect it from King of Sodom so that one will not feel proud. No, he didn't. He told him, he said that, and Abraham said to the King of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Now, anyone that God has given to you to be your helper will not say that I have made you rich. Because they have the years of the Lord. They know that they were made not by themselves. And so it's not every man that would stand in that place. No, it's not saying be on the hunt of men that you think they fit the spec of those that can support you on this journey. No, it's God that brings them. It's God that dropped. It wasn't as though there was a church in Damascus. But God just dropped somebody there. Yeah. Like, perhaps I need to rescue somebody. Let me put Ananias there. And after this experience, we didn't hear about, like, Baba just did his own assignment. Bam. His own assignment is, I will meet one Paul one day that I will open his eyes. The only thing he knew about that Paul, and at times, you don't need to explain yourself too much to those that will help you. You know, see, Esa, this is what we're working on. You know, sir, if you really help me, there's return on investment. No. No. They only heed the call of God. They don't heed your pitch. You know, you pitch. You know, this is what we're working on. This is where we're going to. This is where... No, that one is not your helper. That one is your listener. It's not meant to listen to you and leave. No. They have the ears of the Lord. And so you're not lobbying. You're not creating your way. Maybe you find them in an event. You're just trying to until you speak with that person. And that's why I personally believe that the only prayer I need to pray is I should be where God wants me to be. He already owns the heart of men. So these men, they are positioned into our lives as a mouthpiece of wisdom at times. At times, they are the mouthpiece of counsel. At times, they are meant to just tell you the next step. That guy, this where you are now, you will lose your home. Do this so that you will not lose your home. You know, it was even recently I found out that even for David and Jonathan, God had to situate or establish Jonathan to be the help that David needed. See, David is one person that God helped. You know, when you want to say that, God helped this one, God helped this one. David is one person that God himself helped. Like God brought a lot of help. Because he was a frail man. Yes, see, David was very frail. Yes. Like, you know, that's why they would say, how does he even love him that much? He had a lot of, it's just that he also has a heart that God loves. Like, he is frail. Like, his weakness and him, they are like paddy paddy. is very frail. But with the frailty that he has, God knows that if I keep helping this one, it will just doing vacation, he sinned. Vacation. Sin. Not even small sin. Big sin. And he kept growing in the. He said, oh, how are you going to kill this Uriah? Okay, let's. Like, he's very frail. A man of God cannot be thinking like that. At the first instance, I don't do ammo. But by the time he's plotting, he's plot, not even one plot, days. Like, he got the guy drunk. The guy slept on his. He said, no, oh Lord, I will kill you. So David is a man that he tells us that when God intends you to get somewhere, his mercies can consistently bring help your way. So frailty is not, I don't think I'll get there because I'm this. You know, another thing about David that I even saw this morning was, even David's army, let's go there. I think 1 Chronicles chapter 12. David's army, that army was not formed because David picked them. Go to verse, I think 22. Yeah, I don't want us to. He says, for at the time they came. Now let's go back a little so that you see where people started decamping. Like because of David, people decamped. It was the people that decamped that became his own men. So, and some from Manasseh. Is that the beginning of the decampment? Is that the beginning? And let's read this, just to give us knowledge. And some from Manasseh, they defected to another, I think KJV said they decamped. And some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle against Saul. But they did not help them. For the Lord of the Philistines sent him away by agreement, saying he may defect to his master, Saul, and endanger our heads. When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were, so these were the guys that defected, Adnah, Jozabad, Jediel, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, let me pronounce the last one, Zelethai. Captains of the thousands who were from Manasseh. And they helped David against the bands of raiders. For they were all mighty men of valor. And they were captains in their army. For at that time, they came to David day by day. Meaning, this was like, people were decamping every day. He says they came day by day to come and what? To come and help him until many people were decamping and joining until it became what? A great army. I think I don't know when, but very soon we'll look at the formations of God's army. We'll have a lot of things to learn from David here. So you can see that a man that was to go against Saul, that didn't have an army himself, see how God brought men to help him. So you might be thinking you God has given you something to do and it's unaccomplishable. As long as it's God that has given it to you, he is bound to bring help day by day. That when he says he loads you with daily benefits, that's what he's saying. He says you wouldn't be without help every day. Because he knows you can't achieve it yourself. I'll quickly read the implications of the gifts of men in our lives. One, God has positioned them. To connect us to our risings. And I say risings because we rise as much as we are helped. Every new phase of this journey poses a new challenge. And it's just the way God has designed it. Two is their position to convey endorsement and opportunity. Meaning places you can't speak for yourself. No, whenever you find God always putting men before you, places you can't speak, places you can't recommend yourself. God has helped you with men. Places where, you even though if you send your CV there, they won't look at it. But there's somebody in that room. You know there are rooms that you are outside of that room, but you are being talked about in that room. Yeah. You know, let me just pray this prayer. A lot of us, he's Commonwealth. I want us to raise up our hands. You know, as we are approaching this end of the year, you know, every organization that has, you know, that has desired our services and they have either maybe employment, whether it's you've been a contractor with them, you know, I pray that at this season and at this time, God will begin to strategize and put men in those rooms. Yeah. Where decisions are being made on who to uplift and who to promote. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. So endorsement, and you can't endorse yourself. Except you don't want to be endorsed. You know, for many of us, it's somebody that will say that, I know the person that can do it. Yes. I know the person that can get this thing done. And Bible says he owns the heart of a king. And as he does that, he can steer their heart as he steers the river. God is a very amazing God. You don't need to be there to help yourself. That's the confidence in God. Like, you don't need to see how it goes to be sure that it's your own help. You know, like the psalmist, I think it was the psalmist that says, I will look up to the hills from whence what comes my help. You know, some of them are positioned to bring access to financial and material resources. A lot of times, God does this so that we can be humble. That's number one. But most importantly, so that we can truly, truly be what God intends us to be with those resources. Some of them, they will give you leverage. You know, I remember some years back, there was someone I employed. And, you know, they always say that if you don't have experience, you can't work again. It's not true. You only need God to help you. Like if you don't have experience. And literally, I think it's rampant. Like, everybody's asking, what can you do? What have you done? And this lady just said, I've not done anything. I don't even know what I can even do. But I promise if you give me this chance. No, she didn't use that for share. Like, she didn't put something in her mouth to talk. It's God deciding to help her. And me too, because me too, I have ears. I can hear Jehovah. I only heard, this one will be your greatest asset. Will I bank on what she cannot do? When I heard, this one will be my greatest asset. It's me that will ensure that that person enters. Yes. Else, both of us will be out. Yeah. You know, that's what Jonathan also understood. Yeah. So they are positioned to bring access to us, right? For financial and material resources. They are also positioned into our lives for impartation and for us to access the realm of God. Now, that's what the fivefold does for us. And some men that birth or produce spiritual abilities in us. There are realms and impartations that you will not get yourself. All of the impartations you would get is through the honor you place on the men God has given to you. So if you go lock yourself up in a room, oh God, I want to enter this room, like I always say, try it, then come and give us feedback. But I always don't like people to suffer themselves. Imagine if Paul, from that place where he went blind, he was not looking for Jesus. You know, he knows that Jesus can heal blind. They said there's Ananias. Who is Ananias? Was he part of the 12? You know the way we connect blessing now. At least if Jesus is not there, the people that are still close to the Iliagbara, they should be able to Yeah, if it's not the 12, the 70. At least the 70. But Ananias is not 12. He's not 70. Ananias. Ananias. I beg you, I'm going to be serious, Jerry. See, there's no man that is as desperate as someone who has lost his sight. I mean, particularly, you can see before, but you've not lost your... Because every possibility is short. Like the eye is... It's like when they take your eye. That's why they took Samson's eye. You can't... Even your strength is irrelevant. Like what you can use your muscle to do is irrelevant. So it was at a crucial moment. Because all his ability... That I want to jump from this city to another city, blah, it's because you have eyes. You can see that you are going to this city. Then you collect the letter. You know where to go and collect letter from. But after the experience, your sight was gone. So it's easy to have despised Ananias. They are also positioned to bring accurate interpretations to our times and to our seasons. Meaning this man, when God brings them to us, they bring accurate interpretation. And that's why you don't joke when God says, this is your spiritual father. This is your local assembly. You don't joke with it because the spiritual interpretation to your season is not with you. It's not with you. They are also positioned to bring substance, preservation, and covering to us in our journey. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God intends that every one of his children can also say like Apostle Paul that I have finished this race. Do you guys even know that Barnabas was some sort of mentor to Paul? Like, you know, Barnabas that they were, he was mentor. There were three different places in Acts that talked about how Barnabas brought Paul closer. Because it's just like Priscilla and Aquila, what they did to our zealous brother Apollos. Imagine there was no Priscilla, there was no Aquila. This man would just have zeal not unto righteousness. Because Bible later said he was now mighty. Mighty Apollos. So meaning without... He will be mighty in error without a Priscilla and Aquila. He will be mighty because I think those kind of people, they have zeal. And what God does, like Paul. Paul is someone that has zeal. Because what they will be doing in their former life, they will be zealously doing it. So God does not kill that zeal. It's like a place of strength. So God purifies it and converts it on this other side. So they now also do this one to zealously. That's what you see in Pisac. Like, the strength he has, it's not like it's fluke. It's not like, oh, I have to be zealous here. God saw the zeal as well as something he preserved into this. And so you don't see him on zealous. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And for many of us too, there were things that, you know, devil weaponized when we were in the world. Some of it was our intellect. Our ability to reason completely. We were coming up with witty inventions for the devil. You know, imagine just, you know, when an innovation comes out. You know what? There's bad and good side of every innovation. Like they said recently that as much as you are looking forward to using ChatGPT to solve your assignment, somebody is thinking of creating a nuclear bomb with ChatGPT. As in when somebody analyzed that, I was like, wow, really? Like, the questions that will be asked, the model is bound to answer you that way. You know, how can I get uranium without the detection of FBI? So the guy is looking for that knowledge. Now that I've said, you know, if you go and type it, if Interpol come and carry you. Yeah, the Interpol carry people. I didn't know before that Interpol carry people in Nigeria until they carry somebody I know. Interpol. No, it's not the EFCC that carries. Like, one while everywhere. Yeah, Interpol. Or what? Need or Interpol? Ah, hey, Shami. Ah, I didn't know. It's better than EFCC is better than demo. EFCC is still localized. Even if it's for them to do what they do, they need to tell those ones that if you help us see this guy in America, he's only Interpol that can catch internationally. It was a very sad, it was someone I know, very sad, and it wasn't something he knew anything. I mean, it wasn't something he was supposed to be involved in. And so, even inventions, you know, God likes inventions. And that's why we should use social media to the advantage of the gospel, even in as much as devil is also employing it to promote darkness. So some of us, is our intellect that we, you know, we're using to create progress for the devil. When we got saved, it would convert them. And then you just see that you can teach the word of God. You just see that you can help somebody understand the Bible. You can do believers curriculum for somebody. Because God has given you intellect. Hallelujah. And so for our race, we need to know the destination. We need to know the roadmap. We need to know that there are rules. There are set rules to getting to our destination, to being the person that God desires and wants us to be. And lastly, God would never leave us without help. He would never leave us without help. Can we just minister to God? I don't know if there's anybody here that needs the help of God. I mean, if you think you can walk this yourself, I'm really envious of you, but I also know that you won't help me much. I need every one of us to pray for help. If you know you're doing something serious with God, I think you need to pray. For some of us, it's the work of God that has been committed into our hands. You are heading a unit, you are heading a team, you are heading a ministry. Will it be said of you that you finished the course, you finished the assignment? Do you know the roadmap? Do you know how to be? Do you know the rules? Do you have the necessary help? You know, for someone here, the reason why you've lacked help is because you always despise men. Ask for mercy. Ask that God would have mercy. Nobody has gotten anything good from despising men. You've always thought that every good thing would only come from you. And so when he brings men your way, you downsize and you bring everybody to a low level. I want you to access grace this morning and say that you stand in the right position. You stand in the right position to access every help that God has logged in for you. You are not there yet. You are not where God has. This is not everything. This is not everything. This is not everything. You need a lot of humility to be all God wants you to be. God will take you to places where you don't know anyone, but men will be rooting for you. Help us, oh God. Let his journey be very fruitful. Let his journey be fruitful for everyone here, hearing the sound of my voice, and those that will listen to this message. Let our journeys be fruitful. Let us not fade away like the smoke. Help us, Jesus. Let us not have a better yesterday. Let us not have a better yesterday. Let the only good times we have not be the memories of the past. Promotion does not come from north, not from south, not from east. Promotion comes from God. He says, I will look up to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. Can you position your heart this morning? Can you tell God that you can't do much without His help? The reason you've been unstable is because you need men to cushion you. You need men to give you direction. You need men of wisdom. Say, God, help me to be where I need to be. If I need to pass Damascus to meet an Ananias, let me pass it. Obinantaya, obinanta, seboria kando shebeleketosa, eminiando sikapaya, prondo sheketelege de mambosia, andi bokombre katilia. I am more than this, and I can be more than this. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. You know, even for Jesus, it was said that there were some women that God brought together that helped this ministry. You can't, that's where we came up with the ministry of help. The word help in itself is a godly thing. That's why I say, is Jehovah my helper? Is God helps? It's one of the things God does. So a man can't be all by himself and only dwells in his wishes. How I wish. Everything that you are dreaming of, what God has for you is more than even those dreams. And God needs us to be well positioned. At times, God will put in a room where the only thing you need in your heart is honor. You don't even need to talk. You don't need to say, I can do this. You know, I'm always in awe of the story of, I think it's Steve Harris. I think I know his story a little bit. He usually followed Fela Drotoy. And he didn't have the normal school. He didn't go to university. do you know Steve Harris? Yeah. His only job was to clean. So he was usually in the room where then the Fela Drotoys were presenting. It's a very humbling story. Like, he would just be cleaning the room, the office, like the boardroom and all those things. And so I think that something happened, and I think Fela Drotoy couldn't go to somewhere that they booked him for. And he said that Fela Drotoy had just been putting his eye on him. The only thing he could do was just clean. But he said whenever he was in that, he just had that posture where he just was listening, just learning, and all those things. And there was this particular day, he just said, you, what's your name? What are you doing here? Can you go and speak for me? And so that was, so he put him inside his car. So they drove him to Fela Drotoy now is a big man. Where he was going to talk. And literally, he actually delivered. So he says from Ezra, that was the last time he cleaned. He did cleaner job in that office. He was always going for whatever they were going to send. It was when I said the story himself to us when I was in NYC. And so, it's just, a lot of us, it's just the honor in our heart that we. He didn't say, I can do it. He didn't even show, he's not, like, the gap is too, it's too far apart. And I'm sure there are many instances like that where it's not as though you fought for it, but God saw your heart. Because God knows that that's what you need next, but He needs to see your heart. Because if your heart is commonizing what you want, or belittling what you want, you won't have it. It's even right in your face, they will call somebody outside again. And it will be as though you were undeserving. And so as people of God, we know that we will not murder our gifts. You will not commonize. You know, a lot of people, they've traded their gift because they also want to be relevant. Like, let it be that. Because you might be thinking your gift does not have its own gift. That's the error. You know, me too, I also want to be someone that they stop at me. When they don't mention my name, they won't say, this is the person that made this person. And that's why none of us, we are self-made. None. None. There's nothing like that. Self-made billionaire is not true. We're not self-made. We are products of people that God has labored. Like me now, I'm a product of PZAC. For the past 15 years, I'm a product. So it can't. There's no full stop with me. There's no full stop. Like when you just mention my name, you stop like that. No. When you are not Melchizedek. No, we should worry. And that's also when nobody got you saved. Is even that one is even basic for it's not your salvation is not true. You can't say you got saved yourself. It was somebody that led you to Christ. It was somebody that told you you needed Jesus. You didn't just come to yourself. There's nothing in yourself. You have to go out of yourself and say, God, who is that person that has been positioned for me? Let me be in the right place. Let me walk the right path. Let me walk the right city. Because I know whosoever that person is, you've put him at the right. It's not me that will be looking for cunning ways to put the person there. And that's why we don't go to a new city and we're lobbying. No, we know that when we are getting there, and that's why I tell people when you're relocating, know that God has provided men for you. When you get there, there's somebody to receive you from the airport. Have faith like that. Don't just say, I'm all by myself. No, you can't be all by yourself because you can't do much yourself. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen.